Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Keepass Education International FY22 Results Investor Briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Steve Fiering, Founder and Global CEO. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for everybody attending our call here today. We are very pleased to provide an update on our operational and financial performance in fiscal year 2022 and insights for FY23. Joining me today is Peter Valerik, our Chief Financial Officer, and Ryan O'Hare, CEO, APAC Group. Online education is transforming higher education by providing more access for individuals to acquire new skills or reskill to adapt to global changes. This transformation to online learning involves a very large market with online program management, or OPM, worth around $5.7 billion U.S. dollars, growing at 19% per year. And while higher education can have ups and downs within a yearly views, there is no doubt that the long-term growth prospects within higher education and that online education will be the main driver to its macro growth. All this putting Keepass in the right place within education. And we'll talk about why we've been so successful or well-positioned into the future. Keepass is clearly a leader with assisting universities going online. We have a leadership team with not only years of experience, but are some of the most forefront leaders in online education. Our global footprint, where we're in six countries and in regions that continue to invest and grow education, including a strong focus on online. We are experts in supporting universities in launching online programs within in-demand, large, and complex verticals, including healthcare and STEM. Our investment within clinical placement continues to allow us to grow and to be a leader in health and social services education. We grew revenue over 60% year over year in nursing and over 35% in social services. These degree programs will continue to drive much of our longer term growth. And all of this is underpinned by our tech and data platform called Keepass Edge, which provides us unrivaled insights into skill shortages, optimized program targeting, and delivery. This next slide will talk about Keepass' ability to drive revenue growth and the diversity of our portfolio. If you look at this revenue chart, you can see Keepass' two largest regions, APAC and North America, both have grown revenue in the mid to high 30% annually from FY18 to FY22, illustrating a strong macro trends and Keepass' ability to capture its share. We have a well-diversified portfolio in terms of verticals, with our growth at a programmatic level being driven in large part by nursing, which has become our largest vertical. We continue to see strong demand with students and university interest in these verticals. Today, we have 95 programs in healthcare, which includes both nursing and social service programs, approximately 54% of our total programs. And because of our long-term university partnerships, 7 to 10 year contracts at the program level, and that 94% of our programs are not up for renewal until 2025 and beyond, we continue to have revenue visibility. Well, let's discuss multiple growth options here at Keepass. Keepass continues to achieve our five key multiple growth levers. With our strong retention and our revenue per enrollment increases, revenue continues to grow at a healthy rate. We continue to add new programs with existing partners and bring on new partners. In FY22, we added 7 new partners and 45 new programs. 21 of those new programs came from existing partners, illustrating the strong desire to expand after our initial partnership launch. Our pipeline at both existing and new partners is strong, and our FY23 vintage is sold, with FY24 vintage pipeline ahead of its pace. Part of this growth has been Southeast Asia, where we launched our second partner and new geo within Singapore. Well, now let's dig a little deeper into our healthcare platform. KeyPath continues to be a leader in healthcare education, and the need for healthcare professionals have never been greater. These macro trends have been around for some time, only made worse and the needs greater in our post-COVID world. Access to these jobs only come from degrees within universities. We feel KeyPath is well positioned with our investments in clinical placement and healthcare courseware to help solve shortages within nursing and social science fields. As you can see, our healthcare vertical is making up an increasingly large proportion of our revenues, which we feel provides a strong underpinning to our long-term growth and a real competitive advantage. Well, let's speak to some of the progress we've had to date. We launched our healthcare focus just a few years ago. It started with Baylor University, and today we have 25 of our partners with healthcare programs. 18 of them use our clinical placement function and network, where we place students from the practical component of their healthcare degree. In that short time, we built a network of over 14,000 clinical and field placement relationships with approximately 340 healthcare systems in our global placement network. We just placed our 10,000th clinical placement and are very proud in seeing the impact with future nurses and other health professionals. The investment in clinical placement and the investment in new products will drive much of our growth in the future, as evident of our 51% revenue growth in FY22 within healthcare. We launched two new products at FY22 with the signing of new programs within pharmacy and speech language pathology. Well, let's shift gears a bit and talk about our unit economic model. We have spoken many times about how programs follow the unit economic model. Our mature vintage programs that students started in FY18 or prior prove the economic model with a contribution margin of 46% in full year FY22. In addition to this, we continue to show positive contribution margin of 18.6% even with the FY21, 22, and 23 vintages being the largest in our history. Well, let's talk about our FY22 full year results. We are pleased with FY22 operational results. We have 178 programs and 39 partners, adding 45 new programs in FY22, with 21 of those programs coming from existing partners. Our course enrollment continues to grow, up 18% over last year to just under 102,000 enrollments. We added another 7 university partners, and we feel proved the attractiveness of our OPM offerings to universities as they look to maximize their reach and impact. And we're pleased with our early results in Southeast Asia, and like our early mover advantage and the macro characteristics within both Malaysia and Singapore. And now on to our financial highlights. We had a strong revenue growth in FY22 with our revenue of $118.4 million, up 21% year over year, and up 25% on a constant currency basis and adjusting for one-time fee in Q4 FY21. With this achievement and us continuing to get cost leverage, we achieved positive 18.6 contribution margin, which resulted in a negative $10.5 million adjusted EBITDA. Both of these numbers beat our prospectus numbers. These are strong results, even with our FY21, 22, and 23 vintages being the largest in our history and the investments going into them. Investments in new launches of approximately $19 million in the full year was up approximately $7 million from FY21. We are also focused on cash with a cash burn of just $8.3 million in FY22, leaving us with $59.9 million with no debt as of June 30, 2022. And we're fully funded for organic growth before positive internal net cash generation. Our cash on hand was favorable by $20.5 million to the prospectus. Well, let me turn it over to Peter, who will give you more details on our financial results. Peter?
Thanks, Steve, and good morning to all. As Steve mentioned previously, we saw growth across all our key metrics with partners, programs, course enrollments, and revenue per course enrollment growing nicely year over year. As seen across the OPM sector in recent months, we did see some softening of enrollments in the second half of fiscal 2022, mainly in our pre-KeePass Edge mature vintages, which will continue into FY23. However, we strongly believe our focus in the healthcare and STEM verticals, which is informed by KeePass Edge, has helped us to offset this impact. Our momentum from fiscal 2022 sets the stage for continuing growth, and our pipeline remains strong and is focused in the verticals where we see the most opportunity going forward. Now let's take a look at our financial performance for fiscal 2022. As Steve noted earlier, revenue grew 25% year over year on a constant currency basis after adjusting for the $2.6 million one-time fee in fiscal 2021. This performance also exceeded our prospectus forecast by $2 million. Adjusted EBITDA was $2.2 million favorable to our prospectus after adjusting for the $1.1 million unrealized foreign currency exchange loss. We are very proud of this performance throughout all of the uncertainty of the pandemic. When looking at costs and adjusted EBITDA year over year, keep in mind that fiscal 2021 included only 1 month of public company costs, and fiscal 2022 includes an incremental $7 million of investment into our historically large new vintages. In addition, fiscal 2022 reflects our continuing investment in launching our Asian operations, as well as continuing investments in our systems, which will pay dividends in the future. Now let's drill down on revenue growth in a bit more detail, starting with growth by geography. Revenue grew nicely year over year across all geographies, despite the difficult comp to fiscal 2021 as a result of the COVID lift, which is most pronounced in our APAC region. This growth was primarily driven by continued strong retention across all regions, our overall enrollment growth, and the rapid growth of our fiscal 2021 vintage, which we will discuss in more detail in a few slides. Let's now take a look at how our revenue growth by geography compares to the prospectus. As noted earlier, revenue was $2 million favorable to the prospectus. This overperformance is primarily due to the flow-through of the COVID lift in APAC that I mentioned earlier. North America offset some of the APAC favorability due to the softening enrollment environment I discussed previously. Let's see how this revenue growth breaks down by vintage. As a reminder, the vintage refers to the fiscal year in which a new program has its first student intake and begins generating revenue under our revenue share model. Post-KeePass Edge vintages are significantly larger than historical vintages. This is most noticeable with the rapid growth of our fiscal 2021 vintage. This vintage is the largest in our history in terms of number of programs, 31, but also the revenue trajectory, which is 2 times the fiscal 2020 vintage in its first 2 years. This vintage alone is expected to be a significant driver of near-term growth. The fiscal 2022 vintage, while not as large in its first year as the fiscal 2021 vintage, is still a great vintage and is larger than historical vintages. As we have discussed in the past, the timing of when programs start within a fiscal year can also impact the first year revenue of the fiscal 20, and the fiscal 2022 vintage was more skewed to the second half of the year. Looking at our mature vintage performance, which contains programs from fiscal 2018 and prior, there are a few key items of note. First, this vintage contains the $2.6 million one-time fee in fiscal 2021. In addition, this vintage was the primary beneficiary of the COVID impact in fiscal 2021. We anticipated this vintage declining in our perspective, and it actually declined less than expected. That said, as we continue to reallocate our investments to our newer vintages, we expect the mature vintage bucket to decline by approximately 15% in fiscal 2023. Note that in fiscal 2023, the fiscal 2019 vintage will now be captured in the mature grouping. Let's now transition to looking at our historical contribution margin performance, as well as the contribution margin performance by vintage. Adjusting for the one-time fee in fiscal 2021, contribution margin declined as forecast year over year from 24.2% to 18.6%. This decline is primarily due to the incremental $7 million of program launch costs incurred in fiscal 2022. Contribution margin was favorable to the prospectus by approximately $4 million or 22%. This was primarily driven by the favorable revenue performance noted earlier, as well as direct and general administrative expenses that came in lower than planned, primarily due to lower travel and support costs for the direct departments. Over the long term, we expect contribution margins to continue to improve as our new historically large vintages mature and a greater percentage of our overall portfolio reaches maturity. Now let's turn to how contribution margin breaks down by vintage. As Steve noted earlier, our mature vintages achieved a 46% contribution margin in fiscal 2022, proving our unit economic model is working as expected and our path to profitability from the second half of fiscal 2024 is clear. Our new vintages are progressing through the unit economic model better and faster than the mature vintages. As evidence of this, note that the fiscal 2021 vintage has already achieved positive contribution margin, less than 2 years in market. This is much faster than prior vintages. One additional call out on this slide regards the fiscal 2019 vintage. We are very pleased with this vintage and expect it to continue to follow the unit economic model as it fully matures. Note that as we have previously discussed, not every vintage will achieve the same size or contribution margin due to a variety of factors, including the number of programs and mix of programs, but we do expect all vintages to follow the unit economic model. Before I turn things back over to Steve, let's look at our costs broken down between contribution margin related costs and costs below the contribution margin line. As mentioned on the previous slides, contribution margin was favorable to the prospectus by 22% due primarily to our revenue over performance and a lower than planned spend in G&A. Both direct marketing and salaries and wages as a percentage of revenue were essentially in line with the prospectus forecast and were higher than the prior year when adjusted for the one-time fee in fiscal 2021. The year-over-year increase in direct marketing as a percentage of revenue was planned and can primarily be attributed to the COVID impact on cost of acquisition in fiscal 2021, as well as IOS changes. Corporate costs increased year over year and were higher than prospectus due to public company costs and the timing of expenses associated with infrastructure investments and launching our Asia operations. Now let me turn it back to Steve, who will discuss our fiscal 2023 progress and outlook.
Well, thanks, Peter. We've spoken many times about how our newer vintages have had the benefit of KeePath Edge and are much larger than historical vintages. Well, let me illustrate on this slide. As you can see, post KeePath Edge vintages, FY19 and beyond, have grown significantly larger due to better data on selecting and designing programs that meet today's skill shortages. This is the reason we made the shift to healthcare programs and specific targeted programs in business and STEM within our APAC region. Because of this, we're being more aggressive in reallocating capital from some of our older legacy programs where we see less demand today to our high growth programs launched in FY21, 22, and 23, which are tracking well against our initial expectations. As Peter mentioned, this will have an effect on growth rate in our mature vintages, but feel this investment in our newer vintages gives us better long-term growth and aligning to where the demand is. As I mentioned earlier, the macro trends within education are strong, and the conversion to online is continuing at a rapid pace. As we all know, we've been in this pandemic for over 2 years, and some of the norms that we've all come to expect have been uprooted and uncertain. We also know we have a very strong employment cycle right now, and some programs that run counter-cyclical are more affected than others in this strong economy. However, KeePath is well positioned to handle the changing landscape and position us for long-term sustainable growth. What we do know, as evident from our strong university signings, the interest is strong and the universities believe they need a partner to capture the online growth. The three keys to this transition are, number one, continue our investment in healthcare programs and selectively look for opportunities in business and STEM within APAC. Number two, we'll continue to reallocate investment from some of our mature vintages to accelerate growth in our newer vintages. And number three is maintain strong cost focus and focus on profitability starting in second half of FY24. Lastly, let me speak to our FY23 guidance. Well, there are many considerations that go into our guidance. I'd like to remind you of a few. First, remind everybody, online program management long-term annual growth rate is 19% CAGR to 2025. And while, again, education market year to year can have ups and downs, the macro conversion to online is continuing, and we have shown this from our university signings. We also, KeePath has contributed a long-term CAGR of 38% from FY18 to 22, showcasing the value of this model to university and their students. And as I mentioned before, we've been living in a COVID, post-COVID world, and many of the trends and year-to-year comps have been tough to model year-to-year. But as we know, there's a strong demand when you look in the longer-term horizon, both past and future periods. And lastly, the shift to healthcare was correct. We are making considerable investments there, and this shift will take time to mature and provide expected growth rates overall. For our FY23 guidance, we expect revenue in U.S. dollars of $125 million to $130 million on a constant currency. Adjusted EBITDA of negative $7 million to negative $9 million on a constant currency. We also continue to be confident in our adjusted EBITDA being positive from H2 FY24 and have a strong balance sheet and are well funded with cash to get the full cash break even. Lastly, thank you for allowing us to share our story, and we look forward to seeing many of you in the coming days as we get on the road this week. At this time, we would like to take time for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your next question comes from Tim Lawson with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. Just maybe first question on the current environment with the higher interest rates, cost of living pressure. Can you talk to any sort of experience you're seeing in enrollment numbers, maybe identifying how much, you know, governments typically pay for courses versus sort of personal contribution might be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the government side, I mean, obviously that we haven't had that much of an impact on the government side in terms of impacting the enrollment side. So maybe Ryan, talk a little about that.
Yeah, Tim, it's mostly student contribution, students directly paying as opposed to government contribution. That's naturally how it works in postgraduate where the large majority of our portfolio sits.
And are you seeing any impact just from people, you know, being a bit more cautious on spending at this point and not enrolling, or you're seeing similar retention numbers, enrollment numbers as what you'd expected? Obviously, the numbers are good, but you know, do you think there's any sort of headwind coming from higher cost of living and interest rates?
Well, I think in certain programs that do run a bit countercyclical, when you think about business programs, maybe IT, you know, programs that are kind of run countercyclical, that where there's a strong employment, you know, sometimes the need or the view of the need of having a degree isn't apparent when there's the strong employment, because there's obviously good income and good success. Obviously, you know, so that's, we're seeing some of an impact in those programs. And as we've said, our mature vintages, kind of our 15 to 18, have a disproportionate amount of programs in those kind of non-healthcare programs that are kind of run kind of counter-cyclical. So I think that's kind of the biggest impact that you see.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will now pause a moment to allow for any final questioners to register. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Fiering for closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much for listening to us today. Again, we remain very, very excited about where education is going, and certainly as online education is growing, as evident as our universities continue to express interest in working with KeePath. We thank you for the comments and look forward to seeing folks in the road. So thank you very much. Have a great day.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.